Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 150. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Thou dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. Are saved to sin no more. Are saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. Lord, I believe thou hast prepared, unworthy though I be, for me a blood bought free reward, a golden harp for me, a golden harp for me. A golden harp for me. For me a blood bought free reward. A golden harp for me. Therein a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue is ransomed ransomed from the grave. Is ransomed from the grave. Is ransomed from the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue is ransomed from the grave.
Amen.
Amen.
Every few months, Joy of Troy has a praise service, and we sing different hymns throughout the hymnal that are special to the members and to the visitors who come to this church. And what we do is, if you have a special hymn that's your favorite hymn, or one that has really touched your heart, maybe in the last week or the last few months, you can just tell us what the hymn is and just give a little reason or explanation of why you chose that hymn, why it's your favorite hymn, or why it has touched your heart recently. And we have a book that has collected, to the best that it could, all the history of each of these hymns. And it'll tell the history of the person who wrote the hymn or the person who composed the hymn. And sometimes we even get to find out how that particular hymn was written, what caused that hymn to be written. So it's kind of a special time to give our praises to God, our testimonies, to sing some of our favorite songs, and to learn a bit of the background of those songs. So for the next several minutes, that's what we're going to do. So please take your hymnals and start looking through that and picking out your songs, and we'll take several of them and sing them. But before we begin, why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer one more time. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come and sing songs of praise to you, to sing hymns. It can be very therapeutic for us to sing. It can draw our hearts to you, to sing to you, and just cause us to worship you in a way that we don't normally do. And we thank you for the opportunity to do this so this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So who has a song? I think we have somebody with a microphone. We have somebody with a microphone that can come around. And if you have a song that you like, please tell us what it is and share with us why you have picked that song. We have some of our choir here to help with the singing. Connie.
It's one of my favorite. It's Moment by Moment.
Moment by Moment. And the number is?
507.
507.
And the reason why I chose this song, it's about faith and trust. And as long as I keep my faith and trust in God, he sees me through everything. Heartaches, disappointment, joy. He gives me strength. And I know that he is in my life moment by moment.
Amen. So let's read a little of the background of Moment by Moment. Evangelist Daniel Webster Whittle was talking to his friend Henry Varkey at the Chicago World's Fair and was greatly impressed by Varley's remark, "I do not like the hymn, I need thee every hour very well because I need him every moment." This prompted a line of thought that resulted in the writing of this hymn. The expression, moment by moment, occurs once in each stanza and three times in the refrain. Whittle brought the manuscript to Ira Sankey, saying that he would give his copyright of both words and music to him if he would print 500 copies for Whittle to distribute to his friends. This constant care of God for his people, moment by moment, is mentioned in Isaiah's parable of the vineyard. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day, Isaiah 27:3. Whittle also wrote Showers of Blessing, and I Know Whom I Have Believed. The tune, sometimes called Moment by Moment, was composed by Whittle's daughter Mary, or May, who later became the wife of Will R. Moody, son of evangelist Dwight L. Moody. In 1893, the first copyrighted leaflets were printed, and the gospel song appeared in Sankey's Sacred Songs in 1896. We're going to sing Moment by Moment now. What's our next song? Yes. Because he lives. I think that's two. No.
526.
What is it?
526.
526. Because he lives. Why is that one of your favorites?
The title alone.
The title alone.
Well, that's all you need.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's see where it came from. Number 526. Gloria Gaither, born March 4, in 1942, into a modest Battle Creek, Michigan parsonage, could be characterized as a wife, mother, lyricist, author, speaker, recording artist, and performer. After graduating from Anderson College, Indiana, with majors in English, French, and sociology, she married noted songwriter Bill Gaither, and with him has co-authored some 500 songs. She was very busy. Since 1971, she has written 4 books on inspirational subjects. She sings and travels with Bill Gaither Trio, reaching as many as 500,000 people a year. Of her ability as a creative communicator, she says, "Much of my growing has come as a result of my children or some phase of family life. God is not complex. He speaks to us in ultimate simplicity. I cannot let what he has given me go to waste. I must act responsibly to do the most with what I have and trust the results to him." Bill Gaither, co-author of the words and composer of the music he titled Resurrection, was born in March 28, 1936 at Alexandria, Indiana. While a lad on the farm, he was keenly interested in gospel music. After listening to male quartets on the radio early in the morning, he would order the songbooks through the mail and learn the songs himself. With his future wife, Gloria, as a fellow student, he attended Anderson College, where he earned a BA degree. While teaching high school English, literature, and journalism at the college, Gloria taught there also, he formed the Gaither Music Company to publish the songs he was writing and singing in churches of the Midwest. After their marriage in 1962, they began a full-time ministry of writing and publishing songs, recording, and concertizing with the Bill Gaither Trio. In a short time, they became widely known for their ability to communicate the resurrection principle in the daily life through the idiom of Christian songs. Phenomenal success has attended their efforts. Literally hundreds of Christian artists have made recordings of their songs. "The King is Coming," "He Touched Me," "Something Beautiful," and "There's Something About That Name." In 1973, Gaither's alma mater conferred on him an honorary doctor in music for "Because He Lives." Both the Gospel Music Association and the ASCAP, American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, named Bill the Gospel Songwriter of the Year in 1974. A host of honors and awards have come to this talented couple, and they continue to write their gospel songs, record them in their own studio, and operate Alexandria House, a music publishing, printing, and distribution organization in their hometown of Alexandria, Indiana. Let's sing "Because He Lives."
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future.
Linda.
Number 111, It Took a Miracle.
111, It Took a Miracle.
I love that song because it speaks of God's power. But it says that it took a miracle to save my soul. And that is the greatest miracle that God performs for each of us, that he loves us so much that he comes and touches us and saves us. And so that's why that is one of my favorites, because he did come and touch me and save me.
Amen.
Amen.
It Took a Miracle. John W. Peterson, the writer of the words and music of this song, is probably the world's most well-known gospel song composer now living. In fact, he has been called Dean of the Christian Composers. More than 1,000 hymns and gospel songs has come from his prolific pen, and more than 8 million of his 25 cantatas are in circulation. The youngest child of a Swedish-American family, he was born November 1, 1921, on a farm near Lindsberg, Kansas. With father and mother and all seven children gifted in singing and playing musical instruments, the house was full of music. John developed a fine voice and sang in the Covenant Church choir under Brother Rudy's direction, with Sister Mary at the piano. A few years later, his brothers became evangelists, with John leading the singing. But he did it with such enthusiasm that, combined with inexperience and overuse, his voice was damaged beyond repair. He says, "If that had not happened, I might never have developed as a writer. With my voice damaged, I turned more and more to writing, and that talent was allowed to emerge and develop." By the time he finished high school, writing songs was the big thing in Peterson's life. He was paid $8 for his first published song, Yet There Is Room, published in 1940 by R.E. Winsett of Dayton, Tennessee. In 1942, he joined the Air Force and became a pilot flying cargo over the Himalaya Mountains called the China Hump. Coming home with more than 50 songs in his notebook, he attended Moody Bible Institute, Chicago, where he worked on a radio station, WMBI. It Took a Miracle was used in 1948 on the national television program Young People's Church of the Air, hosted by Percy Crawford, who paid John $40 for the song. It was an instant success and was recorded by many famous artists, making it for several years the number one gospel song in America. After earning a music degree at American Conservatory, Chicago, in 1951, Peterson joined Alfred B. Smith as editor and composer for Singspiration Incorporated of Montrose, Pennsylvania. He served as president of the company in 1963 when it was acquired by Zondervan Publishing House, Grand Rapids, Michigan. In 1971, he became executive composer and moved to Arizona, where he continues writing, editing, and publishing. Great Hymns of Faith, 1968, was produced under his guiding hand. He received 3 honorary doctor's degrees from John Brown University in 1967, from Western Conservative Baptist Seminary, Portland, Oregon, 1971, and from Grand Canyon College, Phoenix, Arizona, in 1979. He is president of John W. Peterson Music Company, in which his whole family of 3 daughters and son are involved. In his autobiography, The Miracle Goes On, he tells about the writing of It Took a Miracle. I sat in a classroom at Moody Bible Institute one day when the lecturer said something that started me thinking in a concentrated way about the grace and love of God, as seen in the work on Calvary, and about the tremendous transforming power of that work in the life of the believer. Soon, I lost contact with the lecture, and my mind turned back to my childhood when I had seen the radical change in the lives of my brothers, Bob and Bill, through the power of the gospel. I relived my own conversion, to me, such a miraculous thing, and the subsequent chain of events through which I lost my singing voice and turned more and more to writing. My thoughts raced on to the flights over the Himalayas, the spectacular power of God revealed in those electrical storms, the majesty of the mountains themselves, the incredible variety of the jungle, and the star-filled nights of the dazzling beauty high in the air. As these scenes flashed through my memory, I begin to focus on the element of the miraculous in all of God's work, creation and redemption. The words of a song were informing in my mind, and before the class period was over, the chorus was all thought out. I hurried over to the music building and found a vacant studio and started to write, "My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny." When the song was finished, with a sigh of satisfaction, I hummed the tune over a few times and then tucked it into a folder with some other compositions. Soon afterward, Mr. Lowe's told me that he had mentioned my work to Percy Crawford. For the first 28-year period of the copyright, that initial $40 was all Peterson received for a song that earned many thousands of dollars for the publishers. But the copyright law allows the composer to regain his rights to a song for the renewal period, so now he owns his most popular work. Peterson also wrote the tune Toronto, which appeared in the SDA hymnal 578, So Send I You. Let's sing number 111, It Took a Miracle.
It took a
What's next? Shemek. 462.
Amen. Bless assurance.
Blessed assurance. Would you like to tell us why you chose that song?
That's my favorite. The lyrics, being watching and waiting, looking above, filled with the goodness, lost in his love. It's blessed assurance that Jesus is going to return, and I pray that all of us will be ready and waiting for him to be in the clouds and to go to heaven with him. I just look forward to that wonderful day.
Amen.
You know, Annette, that's mine too.
Okay, go ahead.
And the reason was when Charles and I were doing Bible studies, we got talking about, you know, how people were persecuted, like burned at the stake, and they were singing, and like it's the stoning of Stephen and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm thinking, what are they seeing? I mean, you know, they have this faith that, you know, you're about to die and you're singing praises to God. And so I started thinking, what song would I sing? And that was the one that just hit me.
Amen. Blessed assurance. Mrs. Joseph Fairchild Knapp composed a hymn tune in 1873. Visiting Frances Jane Crosby, she played the tune for her. Finding that it pleased the blind author very much indeed, Mrs. Knapp asked her to write some words for it. She played it over the second time and noticed that Fanny Crosby was kneeling in prayer. After the third playing, Fanny began dictating rapidly the words of the hymn that we now have. The hymn is based on 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are sons of God, as is evident in the words, heir of salvation. Blessed Assurance appeared first in Gems of Praise, 1873, a collection by John Robson Sweeney, with a tune named Assurance because of its association with the words. Mrs. Knapp also composed the tune for the hymn sometimes called The Cleansing Wave. Let's sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture that burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This
I like hymn number 632.
632.
Until Then.
Amen.
632.
And why do you like this hymn?
I love this song because we're here on this earth and we are ever striving to be in heaven. And it's a reminder that to keep your spirits up despite trials and tribulations and to keep your eyes on Jesus always.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And why is it your favorite song? Would you like to share?
It caught me at a bad time in my life. And I don't know how, but I ended up with a hymnal at home. And I was searching through, and I was like, I need some inspiration. And it's tough when you don't sing, because I don't know where the songs are. And I was just whipping through, and I just fell on it. And I sung it, and I sang that song. And it's just been like, it got me through. And it just... a very good reminder, and I praise the Lord.
Until Then. Stuart Hamblin, born October 20, 1908, the son of an itinerant Methodist preacher in Kellyville, Texas, studied to be a teacher at McMurray College in Abilene. But his dearest loves were the great outdoors, horses, and music. After winning an amateur singing contest, he disregarded his father's caution, never leave the state of Texas, bought a jalopy with his $100 prize money, and started out on what was to become a successful career in radio, recording, and films. At age 18 in 1926, he persuaded the Victor Talking Machine Company, later RCA, to record some of his cowboy songs. Going to Hollywood, he wrote songs, appeared in concert, and acted in Western films. In 1949, as a result of the Billy Graham Crusade in Los Angeles, he accepted Christ and was one of the first to write pop sacred songs. His Cowboy Church of the Air radio program was a great success for more than 20 years. In 1952, Hamblin's deep religious convictions brought pressure on his social consciousness and led him to run for the President of the United States on the Prohibition ticket. In 1972, he received the Academy of Country and Western Music's Pioneer Award. Others of his best-known songs are This Old House and Open Up Your Heart and Let the Sun Shine In. We're going to sing number 632, Until Then.
Until the day God calls. have one?
Okay. One of my favorite songs is 569, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. It's one of my favorites because God answers prayer when you least expect, in ways that you don't anticipate, and you realize that you're never forgotten. You never know how long the journey may be or how long the trial and tribulation may last, but he never leaves you on the side of the road. So that's one of my favorites.
Amen. 569, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. On a visit to one of New York's prisons in 1868, Fanny Crosby appealed to the convicts to accept Christ as their Savior. She was interrupted by one prisoner who exclaimed, "Good luck, Lord, don't pass me by." William Howard Doane, who had composed many tunes for Crosby's words, suggested a hymn with the title, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." She thought about the incident and its spiritual overtones and wrote the words to this hymn, making it a real prayer from the heart. Being blind herself, she could easily understand the feelings of the blind beggar whose story is the basis of the hymn. It was first published in the Songs of Devotion, 1870. The tune, composed by Doane in 1870, especially for the words, is one of the many gospel songs by this author-composer team. We're going to sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass
Rachel has one.
I have a litany of favorite songs.
Pick but, one.
I'm going to pick one. 253, There's No Other Name Like Jesus.
253.
I tend to like to sing this all together with 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus and all these other Jesus songs. So you can see that there's one big theme. But out of all that group, this one is my favorite because I really feel like when you're going through a hard time, there is no other name like Jesus. And when you have no answers, there is no other name like Jesus. There is no other answer like Jesus. And there's no one else to turn to but Jesus. So this song brings all that into my mind.
Amen. This gospel song appeared in Hymns and Tunes, 1886. Both words and music were written by Franklin Edson Belden. The heading is, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. The tune has a melody that is easy to sing with very simple harmony, and we are going to sing it now.
There's no other name like Jesus, 'tis the dearest name we know. 'Tis the angel's joy in heaven, 'tis the Christian's joy below. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name.
I cannot tell why.
255?
Yeah. This song, I wasn't raised a Christian. I found Christ on my own. I'm always amazed that, you know, God's love is so far above our own love, and that, you know, it's so hard to explain how God can love us, you know, and so it's really what this song is about. I cannot tell why.
Amen. Amen. This is a hymn of 4 8-line stanzas, each of which is divided into two parts. The first 4 lines express amazement and wonder at the why and how of Jesus coming to earth from heaven, and the final 4 lines form an affirmation of faith in the success of Jesus' rescue mission, in spite of our lack of understanding of that mystery. William Young Fullerton was born March 8, 1857 in Belfast, Ireland, and reared a Presbyterian. Moving to London in 1875, he attended the Metropolitan Tabernacle, where the great Charles Spurgeon was the preacher and becoming a Baptist. Answering a call to ministry, he attended Pastor's College, now Spurgeon's College, and held evangelistic campaigns in Britain for 15 years before settling down to be a pastor at Melbourne Hall, Leicester. At various times, he held several important positions in the church and is recognized as one of the most prominent Baptist parsonages of his time in Britain. He wrote a biography of Spurgeon and a devoted and expository books. He died at Bedford Park, Middlesex, on August 17, 1932. Londonderry Air is a familiar to nearly everyone as an Irish folk song. It has been arranged and sung to different sets of words countless times. A.P. Graves used it with his two Irish songs, Erin's Farewell and Erin's Apple Blossom. Perhaps the most well-known in America is Danny Boy, written by F.E. Weatherly in 1912. The natural flowing beauty of the tune, its overall style, which is in keeping with the sacred atmosphere, and the way the words and music fit so well together furnish the reasons this hymn was chosen by the SDA Hymnal Committee. John Barnard, the arranger of this tune, was born in April 20, 1948, and educated in England, becoming organist and choir master at Emmanuel Church, Northwood, Middlesex, England, and a fellow of the Royal College of Organists. His main occupation, however, is that of a teacher of French and German at the John Lyon School, Harrow. We'll sing the first and last verse of this song. 255. First and last verse.
Not how or when.
This will be our last song. No pressure.
Over the past months, number 552 has become one of my favorite songs. 552.
552.
You know, I remember in January when my doctor called me, and I felt as though, what do I do now? Because there's certain words that when you hear them, just the sound of those words cause wherever you are to shrink, and you find yourself at a loss. And I remember going to my Bible and reading and coming back to the song that I used to sing as a child, and it's become one of my new favorite songs.
Amen. The Lord's my shepherd. For comments on this close paragraph of Psalm 23, let's see here. Here we are. The identity of the composer of the two Crimnund, a village 33 miles north of Aberdeen, Scotland, was in doubt until hymnologist Miller Patrick cleared it up in an article in the Bulletin of the British Hymn Society. In the Scottish Psalter, it is ascribed to David Grant, an Aberdeen tobacconist who was a musical enthusiast and had a flair for skillful harmonization. This attribution is a mistake. The tune was composed by Jessie Seymour Irving, a daughter of the manse of Crimnund, and one of the parishes in the northeastern part of Aberdeenshire, north as Buchan. Her father was a minister, and there was in the middle of the 19th century. The people of the district are firm in their conviction that Jessie wrote the tune, and their belief was corroborated by her sister in 1911, who was then 82 years old. Having written the tune, she had no skill for harmonizing it, and so sent it to William Carney, who's once famous in the Northeast as a conductor and teacher and as editor of the Northern Psalter, which he was then compiling. Carney, recognizing its merit, handed it to Grant to put it into shape for publication. It is difficult to understand why Grant accepted the credit of the authorship as he did, unless the tune as submitted by Miss Irving needed some reshaping as well as harmonizing. This combination of words and music was sung at the wedding of Princess Elizabeth, later Queen Elizabeth II, and Prince Philip, and also at a service in St. Paul's Cathedral for the silver wedding anniversary of King George VI and Queen Elizabeth. So Crimnund is firmly established as the tune for Psalm 23 in England. Jessie Seymour Irving was born July 26, 1836, in Donater near Stonehaven, Scotland. She was the daughter of the parish minister there. She moved with him when he served at Peterhead and then at Crimnund, where she wrote the tune. She died September 2nd, 1887, at the age of 51 at Aberdeen, Scotland. Now we're going to sing, "The Lord is My Shepherd."
My soul, he doth renew.
Do you realize we've been singing for an hour? We've been singing and praising God for an entire hour. God is good. There's so much to be thankful for. And I've appreciated hearing everybody's testimony, and it's good to build each other up. Elder Langley once suggested to me that I take a hymnal and I go through it and I mark some of my favorite songs. And when I'm feeling discouraged or sad or frustrated, to go through the book and just start singing hymns. And you know it does work. So I would like to encourage you to do the same thing, to pick your favorite hymnal and go through and mark the songs that mean something to you and sing them when you are discouraged. Sing them when you are happy. Sing them when you are frustrated. And it will turn your mind to God and to praising Him. Before we sing our closing song, which is number 633, which is When We All Get to Heaven, and you know, in the light of the things that have happened this week and the loved ones that this church has lost, it's wonderful to know that when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we will sing and we will shout the victory. And I thought I would just read the background of number 633 as well before we stand and sing. Eliza Edmonds Hewitt was a Presbyterian Sunday school worker in Philadelphia. She suffered from a spinal disease and was an invalid for a long period of her life. She often attended the camp meeting at Ocean Grove, New Jersey, where she met the composer Emily D. Wilson. Another successful composer of the time, William J. Kirkpatrick, who set some of her poems to music, first published this one in Pentecostal Praises in 1898, and from there it was used in many of the gospel songbooks. Emily Devine Wilson, born May 24, 1865, in Philadelphia to an Irish father and an English mother, became the wife of John G. Wilson, district superintendent of the Methodist Philadelphia Conference, and later pastor of the Wharton Memorial Methodist Church. She was a gifted musician and regularly gave of her talents at the Ocean Grove, New Jersey summer camp meeting, where she met and collaborated with Eliza Hewitt on this song. A note in the Philadelphia Conference Minutes by Leon T. Moore tells about her work. Mrs. Wilson was the acknowledged inspiration of her esteemed husband. She was beloved by the congregation of the churches served. Her musical ability was a great contribution to the work of the local church, together with her ability in dramatic art. Her original music was in the key of C and had a repetition of both of the "When We All" phrases in the refrain, and she died June 23, 1942. As we sing the song, I would like us to stand. I would like us to sing it with all of our hearts. Take all the song that's left in within you, and let us sing When We All Get to Heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all Jesus will sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when troubling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving, Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the gift of song, that no matter how well we can sing or can't sing, we can still sing praises to you. You've called us to bring a joyful noise to the Lord, and we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to do so. Please keep a song in our heart as we go throughout our weeks, and continue to draw us close to you, and help us to keep the faith, to know that when we all get to heaven, it will be a day of rejoicing, and we will see you, and we will sing and shout the victory. Keep this within our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Dismiss.